Hello, everyone.
I'm snapping.
Yeah.
I'm dancing.
It's Stephanie. It's Screaming Steph.
Woo!
Oh, my goodness. We have a lot to talk about today.
Holy Mary.
You know, I just want to start this off with the fact that there have been, you know, the Beltway pundits who are, they keep trying to find this, there's a new Trump. Trump's turned over a new leaf. It's like, no, he's a fucking maniac. He's never going to be a new Trump. There's never going to be a leaf turned over. The guy's a maniac. Stop trying to make him, you know, normal. He's not normal.
He's not normal.
He's insane.
And let's also, for just a couple of seconds, take a moment to realize he's being praised for reading. Okay? He's reading off a teleprompter. These are not his ideas.
Yeah.
This was one moment where he had to address the nation, and the generals were able to speak to him, and it sunk in, and they said, do not fuck this up. You are going to read from this teleprompter, and you are going to be a good boy. Yeah. And he did. And then less than 24 hours later, he becomes his regular self again, which is the unhinged lunatic that we saw in Phoenix yesterday.
Yeah, he's never, look, there's the idea that he went through the campaign season defying traditional norms. And he, I say in air quotes, won.
Right.
So there is no telling Trump that he has to behave a certain way. Like, he's not going to listen. He's a 71-year-old man who's never listened to really anybody, maybe his father.
Except for his mommy and daddy.
Yeah. But
he said, here you go, son. You're the best.
And then, you know, he was crazy during the campaign, and that's what made everybody happy who voted for him. They like him when he's unhinged. They like him when he lies. So, of course, he's going to continue to do this.
Right.
And now this morning, it's like everyone's like, oh, Trump is crazy. Really? How many more times does he have to behave like an unhinged lunatic? You know, and then people, they say he's crazy, and then we move on to the next subject, and then everybody's freaking out. This is what Trump does. He's been doing this his whole adult life. He knows how to manipulate the media. He may not be great at much else, but one of his areas of expertise is manipulating the media and keeping the focus on him. He's been doing it forever. He knows where to go. Before, he was going to Howard Stern. You know, he would get on these stupid Entertainment Tonight shows and people would pay attention to him. Now he's using the White House to keep all the eyes on him because God knows he wants all the focus. Even if it's negative, he doesn't care. And everything he says, we follow. I mean, of course we have to because he's the president. But, I mean, we just hang on his every word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
We have to in this case, as opposed to him being the candidate when we should have ignored him more or given more airtime to Hillary Clinton. But this is what it is. So this is what we're dealing with. But it's crazy train. You know what? Before I want to talk about something, and I don't want to forget this. I want to get into the Mitch McConnell, Donald thing and the speech and all that. But I want to address something that happened on Sunday. I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, or I'm sorry, my Twitter feed, and I happened to see this tweet by a guy named Jax Taylor, who is on a show called Vanderpump Rules, which I watch, okay? And anybody who wants to give me shit for it, oh, go fuck off, because I like that show.
Yeah, come on.
And it's just a stupid show. It's like a soap opera. I used to live in Los Angeles. I used to be an actress, so I enjoy watching sometimes these, which I call like Cheeto shows. It's like eating Cheetos.
Right.
So
it's
I recognize that it's
real easy to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I recognize that it's stupid, but I don't care. I like it anyway. So anyway, Jax is stupid. He's really stupid. He was caught stealing sunglasses. TMZ has him on video showing the whole thing, how he stole the sunglasses. Of course, he got out of jail time because he pleaded that he was drunk. And I guess because he's a reality star, the judge said, okay. He also, last season, had to get a breast reduction because of all the air quote supplements that he's taking, which is, you know, who gets man boobs from supplements? But anyway,
right.
So, he tweeted out that half dressed, women who post their pictures and put haikus underneath are still really whores and that they're not fooling anyone. And of course, it really fucking pissed me off because there's a million pictures of him half dressed on the internet with selfies. And so I, you know, obviously it's like, oh, you're going to call them whores, but what are you? And there is no such thing as a man whore. A man whore is praised and a woman is just shamed. So I kind of went after him and then he blocked me.
I know. Congrats. And
so I wrote an article on Huffington Post and I really, really held back. I didn't mention the man boobs. I actually did. I put that in there and then I took it out because I thought I don't have to go low here. although I'm doing it right now because fuck okay. Jax.
It's and, me, babe.
and this is what really pissed me off about it. I didn't expect this to go viral or anything. I just needed to have my say. And so I posted it to my Facebook wall and, you know, a couple of Facebook groups. And immediately some men came on and started saying, who's this guy? Why should I care? Why are you writing about him? Okay, I wasn't writing about Jax per se. I was writing about the fact that men slut shame women for doing the very same thing that they can do with no issues. Nobody's bothering them about posting pictures that when they're half naked. But if a woman does it, they're slut shamed. So the men were ridiculing the idea that I wrote this post about a reality star. No, it's not about the reality star. It's not about Jax per se. It's about the fact that another man did this. And I pointed out in my article that the guy lives in Los Angeles. He's an actor slash model slash reality star who has participated in LGBT parades. He's going out with this girl named Brittany. And also, I also brought this up because he has a huge platform. He has two shows now on Bravo. He's got 500,000 followers on Instagram, 257,000 followers on Twitter. So he's influential. And I'm just getting ahead of myself. But anyway, last season, he kept complaining because his girlfriend, Brittany, who's from Kentucky in a very conservative family, wasn't making him enough turkey sandwiches. And she was falling behind on her, you know, household chores.
And that was in the show?
Yeah. And I mean, he even defended it later. And I don't know why this girl stays with him, I guess because she's getting fame herself. But anyway, because she's they have a new TV show together. It's like Jax and Brittany in Kentucky or something.
Ugh.
So anyway, there was a rumor that he had sex with men, and all his castmates on Vanderpump Rules held a birthday roast where they made fun of him for this, you know, because he had sex with men. And I mean, it was like a loving making fun of him thing. And Britney's conservative mother was there and she took issue with that. So later she and Britney confronted this guy, Jax, and he was pissed. And I took his side because it's like, it's none of your fucking business what I do. You know, if he is bisexual, so what? It's not their business. But of course it's a conservative family and she had no right challenging him or judging him on what he's chosen to do in his life and his private, you know, sexual activities. It's his business. So he got up in the middle of that conversation and he walked out and actually took his side because I thought, yeah, exactly. It's not her business. But then he goes around, you know, she's imposing her what she perceives as moral authority on him. And then he goes to Twitter and he starts calling women whores, which is basically doing the same thing. So it just really fucking irritated me when I heard men or I saw men on my Facebook page challenging me and I got hyper defensive about it and argued with him. And then they apologized. They some of them sent me private emails saying, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you and this and that. And so it's like, just think before you type. Stop making, like you get these knee-jerk reactions. Think. And also I put in the article why people will ask me, why should I care about this? Well, here's why, because he's got this big platform. And what comments were I getting? Why should I care about this? If you don't care, don't read it. Just move on. Stop shitting on people's threads. So anyway, I just had to get that out of the way.
Well, I think it's hilarious that here's a guy who's clearly spends a lot of time shaving his chest and posing for his own selfies. And when he's calling out women for doing exactly what he does, plus I've never been a fan of the double standard when it comes to consensual sex. And if a woman wants to go out and sleep with a different guy every night,
yeah,
that's her prerogative.
Yeah.
Okay. And if a guy wants to shave his chest and post selfies on Instagram, that's his prerogative.
Yeah, exactly.
But shut your mouth about what other people do,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah, it's like you. And he's I think, just such a
by the way, I think when he had the breast reduction, he also had his nipples sized down. Just do some of your own legwork on that, and then let me know what you think.
God, he's such a shithead.
Well, okay. You know what? I want to. I I've got your back with all that, because that's you know, we have to stand up for women who aren't loudmouths.
Yeah.
You know, in this way, you know, I've got a daughter, and I look at her and I look at her friends, and you know, I also have a son, and we talk to our children. Like, the rules for you are the same as the rules for her.
Right.
And they will be. And it's about mutual respect, and it's about owning your shit.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? And also, my husband and I have this saying, keep your side of the street clean.
Yeah.
Okay. And focus on what your part is in anything, and shut your mouth about others.
Yeah.
Unless somebody wrongs you, and then raise hell.
Right.
And then I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
With
exactly.
my mouth guard and helmet on. Anyway, people, man.
Okay. So that, and
it's
then,
enough of that.
And then the other,
enough of these people.
Enough of these people. Then I also got blocked this week by Scott Baio.
I know. That was twice in one day.
I called
you were on a roll.
I called him a fucking man baby. He didn't like it. And he blocked me, proving that I'm right. He is a man baby. You know, it's so funny to me because I'm not going to say this on Twitter or out in Facebook world or anything, because I don't want to tip them off. And I doubt too many conservatives are listening. But I think that it's funny that these people with verification check marks on their Twitter are blocking people, specifically the conservatives, because first of all, it's like, by doing that, number one, you're showing that someone got to you. It's like getting a crank call and continually picking up the phone and asking, "Why are you doing this to me? Stop doing this to me." It's like you're giving them all the power. There's a mute on Twitter where you can mute someone and you never mm-hmm. see what they say to you. It's almost like you've blocked them. You can go to their feed if you want to, and you can mm-hmm. read their feed, but they're not mm-hmm. going to show up in your feed anymore. And if they tweet to you, you won't see it. So it's a great way to ignore people. And then if they keep tweeting at you, they think that you're just ignoring them. And it's so much
right.
better. It's like,
well, that's so much better, because then you don't have the pain and suffering of hating them, because
yeah.
you don't even know what they said.
Exactly. And they get really irritated because you're not taking their bait.
That's correct. I love it.
Stupid Scott Baio.
I know. I know. Please, that guy. And his wife. Holy mother of God. Who are these people?
I know.
I don't know if it was you that hit the nail on the head, or somebody that was responding to you calling him a man baby. But it's like, this is how he stays relevant.
Yeah.
You know,
someone else
and
said that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to hitch my car. I mean, I'm sure these are his beliefs.
Yeah.
As
well.
Well,
he loves Trump.
He loves Trump. And so he's like, ooh, I'm going to hitch my car to that disgusting wagon. You know what, when you were talking about Trump at the beginning, and you were saying that nobody ever said no to him. And I truly believe that. And I think not only did no one say no to him, but he was probably the chosen one in his family, mm-hmm. you know, of the Trump children. And, you know, we know his father had ties to the KKK, and they've been, you know, wronging people with less forever. That's
yeah.
just what they do. But they also instilled in him, and maybe there are other children, but we'll just talk about him right now, because we know this to be true, mm-hmm. that cheating to get what you want is how we go through life. So you don't want to get drafted. We're going to say you have bone spurs, and we're
yeah.
going to pay off a doctor to say that you have bone spurs. And we're going to do that four times. Because cheating is how we get what we want.
Yeah.
So when all this stuff went down with the election, and it was, and they figured, and I'm sure they were working the angles from the beginning, how do we cheat to get what we want? In
right.
other words, how do we cheat
yeah.
to win? They glommed on
yeah, like,
to what was there.
This is a starting point.
That was just, yeah, exactly. Because that's who he is. That's who he's always been. And another thing that I want to bring up, because this ties into his insane rant last night in Phoenix and his racist, you know, like I said, less than 24 hours before that, he was addressing the nation saying, we cannot tolerate racism, that, you know, we all have to come from a place of love, peace and love. America, we don't tolerate hate. And then he goes and says, we're going to build a wall because we're going to keep these brown motherfuckers mm-hmm. out of this country yeah. because they are rapists and drug addicts. And wow, we're cheering. Yeah. And who likes Sheriff Joe? Who likes Sheriff Joe? Was he wrongfully charged for just doing his job, which was racially profiling yeah. Latinos in the state of Arizona? Okay, this goes back, you know, Trump, this isn't new to him, just like cheating isn't new to him. Yeah. Go back to 1989 with the Central Park Five, five boys who were pressured into copping for a crime they did not commit.
Yes.
Who spent time in jail. And Trump spent his own money, he probably stole it from other people, but $85,000 to take an ad out in a New York yeah. newspaper saying, let's bring the death penalty back. Because these rapists and murderers need to go down. And he was talking about those boys, and those boys did time mm-hmm. and their lives were ruined. And they did get some money from New York, but nonetheless, their lives were ruined. I interviewed one of the Central Park Five along wow. with Ken Burns a few years back. And he's a disgusting racist who is motivated. He is a racist to his core. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm tired of people praising him for his proper speeches, saying we are not a racist country. No, but you're a racist president.
Exactly. So,
pound sand, bitch. I am so sick of him.
Well, you know.
Let's talk about how we're going to get rid of him now.
Well, you know what I think. So Rachel Maddow, at the beginning of her show last night, said that Mitch McConnell's former chief of staff, I don't have his name in front of me, but he went by name.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, but I mean, the fact that he used his name is important mm-hmm. as opposed to just, you know, anonymous.
An anonymous source. He
used his name, said, and threatened Trump, saying that they are going to go after him for impeachment if he doesn't stop calling out and you know, saying bad things about other Republicans. Mm-hmm. So now we add to this the fact that McConnell was saying that Trump was yelling at him because McConnell refused to help him obstruct justice.
Right.
And also there's the not so quiet whisperings of wanting to primary him in 2020.
Right.
We know that. And then also Trump has gone after McConnell publicly. And mm-hmm. so there,
the day after the screaming match.
Yeah. So there yeah. is a real fight between those two. There's a feud. Now, we know that McConnell really didn't like Obama. And now I don't know if McConnell had a personal, you know, like there was a personal thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was partisan. He had a partisan problem with Obama.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't like Obama because he was black. Maybe not. Whatever. Who cares at this point? We know that the goal of the Republicans was to obstruct everything and to make him a one-term president. And of course, they failed, at least with the one-term thing. They were able yeah. to obstruct some things, but obviously Obama was still successful and a great president despite the obstruction. Now, this right. is a different scenario because Trump is supposedly a Republican, which he really isn't, but
right.
He's supposed, you know, there's definitely benefit to have a Republican in the office in the White House.
Sure.
But I think that McConnell hates Trump. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is with the, you know, McConnell's wife working for Trump and how that all is going to factor into it. But in the end, I don't really think it matters. I think that McConnell will work to bring Trump down. And I think that this is much more viable than waiting for Mueller. And
right.
obviously, Mueller and Schneiderman are going to do their thing. This mm-hmm. this investigation is not going to stop or go away.
No.
But wouldn't it be fantastic if like McConnell could get him out and then the investigation isn't even finished yet. Therefore, Trump will not be able to pardon anybody. Now, we'll see what happens with Pence, if he is going to, you know, issue pardons, if any, you know, if when indictments are made and charges mm-hmm. are brought against and whatever, you know, we'll see what happens then. But Trump wouldn't be able to offer pardons in the Mueller investigation, and he'll never be able to offer pardons in the Schneiderman because that's a state investigation.
Correct. So, you know what? And I don't know much. All I know is Mitch McConnell, in my opinion when Obama was president. I knew that that was a partisan-based war. And McConnell loves his, he loves running the show mm-hmm. in the Senate. You know, that's something that apparently he's well-respected by by many in the Senate. He doesn't want to let that go. And if, you know, Trump starts threatening to primary Jeff Flake, and he's going against McCain and Flake in Arizona and bringing forth that woman, I can't remember, she's got a funny name, like Shermiel or something. Mm-hmm. The woman that he's trying to bring against
Kelly Ward.
Flake.
Yeah, Kelly
yes.
Ward.
Okay. She lost to McCain last time around. And so he's bringing, she's going up against Flake now. You know, they already didn't have enough Republicans to repeal and replace.
Yeah.
So what is it that Donald Trump thinks is going to happen if he puts somebody up against someone like a Jeff Flake mm-hmm. who will win?
Yeah.
You know, then that's another one that you just lost, Dumbo. And when and then it doesn't matter if Pence comes in with a tiebreaker because there ain't going to be no tiebreaker to be had.
Yeah.
Just like we had to watch him turn around and walk out of the building when John McCain went thumbs down.
Yeah.
Which is still one of the greatest moments in political, 2017. That was glorious to me. I still watch that clip. And I'm trying to perfect, like, the whole when McCain walks up, like, I do this whole impersonation of it where he puts the hand out.
Yeah.
He's like, hold tight, all eyes on me. Then the thumb comes out and it hits down and then the hand kind of flaps mm-hmm. and he walks away. And then I can imitate Sherrod Brown hitting the desk and Chuck Schumer leaning back to say, it's like a whole thing. I play all the parts. I'm like a Tracy Ullman on the Senate floor. I do them all.
Yeah.
But without costumes. And so this is making me, I first was bummed out. You know, sometimes there are tears. Yeah. I still believe Hillary is, you know, one and should is our rightful president, should be. And we would be in, you know, singing glory mm-hmm. every day of our lives.
Well, we'd probably just be bored. You know,
yeah,
it would just
be
boring.
Bored and we'd be happy.
Exactly. Well, we would still be arguing and fighting against whatever stupid shit the Republicans were doing. But it would just be so, like, delightfully boring.
It would be so delightfully boring, but what would, you know, we wouldn't be dealing with fighting white supremacy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that sort of stuff wouldn't be happening. Like, you know, in Berkeley on Sunday, there's the anti-Marxism protest that's taking place on campus. And that's just another word for we're going to come and preach our Nazi hate.
Yeah.
And, you know, do I go to that? Is that worth my time? I'm not a Marxist. Why? Like, you know, I don't know. I think I'd rather spend my time being a decent human being and maybe, I don't know, donating my time to the food bank or, you know what I mean? Like I'm tired of brewing in that sort of emotionally corrosive environment and I'd rather do positive things now.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm sorry to, you know, you get a word in, interrupt
no.
me, but I think we are on, I think it's going down.
Yeah.
I think McConnell, to get back to McConnell, I think McConnell will win this fight.
Me too.
And I never thought I'd root for him.
I know.
But damn it, I am ready to bust out the pom-poms and start cheering for Mitch McConnell when this goes down. He will win because he knows how to play the political game and Trump clearly does not.
Yeah.
And with people defecting from that administration and inside the White House and, you know, I mean, Kelly and the other two generals, McMasters and Mattis, they must just be like, can you imagine the conversations
they have
offline?
They must be shitting bricks every day. What a stressful job that is. And then, you know, to add to this, up until really, you know, recently, obviously Trump has known that he's dealing with a Mueller and a Schneiderman investigation. This upsets him. This worries him, especially the idea that his finances are, you know, being covered by both of them, that mm-hmm. really bothers him. He also doesn't like the fact that his children are involved. So he's mm-hmm. had those pressures hanging over his head. Now, in addition to those two pressures, he's got Mitch McConnell and Steve Bannon. Because Steve Bannon is going back to, you know, fully, you know, I mean, they're saying that he never left Breitbart. But regardless of if he left or not, he's there now looking for war. He wants to stick it to Trump. So, and he's got, and this is going to be a fascinating fight because, you know, my favorite conservative site is Chicks on the Right. And I know that both, you know, the chicks as well as their followers read Breitbart. And they, you know, I know the chicks love Breitbart. I don't really know how they feel about Steve Bannon per se, but they're all pretty much fans of Steve Breitbart. So, or Steve Bannon. So when you watch stuff go down in the political arena and then you go to their page, it's fascinating to see the reactions. So like when conservative X, let's say, goes against Donald Trump, then all of a sudden, all of the chicks on the right followers scream that this guy's a rhino, you know, a Republican in name only. And and they all, I never liked him anyway. After they've been praising him for 5 years, now they've never liked him anyway, and they always thought he was a rhino. So now it's going to be fascinating because Breitbart's going to go after Trump. And Breitbart's going to go after, they call it, like, evidently Bannon referred to Jared and Ivanka as Javanka. And so they're going to go after Javanka. And, you know, how are these conservatives going to reconcile? I mean, I think what's going to happen is they'll lockstep with one or the other. But I think a lot of them will go on the Breitbart side and turn on Trump. I think they're going to, Breitbart is going to help turn some of his base against him.
I hope so. The night after his peace and love speech, the night of, what am I saying? Breitbart came out and called him a flip-flopper.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was, so the gloves are off. I don't know that Bannon has allegiance to him if he's already going in that direction.
No, he has no allegiance to Trump.
Right. So I think, you know, Bannon is truly, you know, those are his beliefs. He's a Breitbart. He's the creator. So those are clearly his political stance lies with Breitbart. Mm-hmm. Trump is not that person. And he has, you know, he's going off the rails because he doesn't have anybody cradling his nutsack, telling him what
he's
to
got
do
Javanka
at every moment.
I think has Jared.
You know, these people, I can't look at them.
I know. You know, when this all first happened and he was, air quote, elected, everybody kept kind of saying that Ivanka would be some savior. And I kept thinking, why do you think that? She was born into privilege. She is clearly browbeaten into having plastic surgery. I mean, I don't know if she chose it on her own or if her father, you know, kept on her about her boobs and her nose and whatever she's done to her face.
Oh, is that nose? Is that not her nose?
I don't think it is, but you know what?
The teeth are for certain.
Yeah, she's had, let's just say she's had plastic surgery. And I don't know if that was all because she wanted it or because her father puts all this ridiculous pressure on and thinks women have to be a certain way and he rates everybody. And anyway, so I never saw, you know, I interviewed back in, I don't even remember when it was, but it was early on, and I interviewed this woman, Kamala Lopez, who is an Equal Rights Amendment activist and made a movie called Equal Means Equal, which everybody should see. And she kept saying, you know, we need to call on Ivanka. And I kept thinking, she's not going to do jack shit. Yeah. You know, I mean, I knew, and of course she isn't. She's just waste.
No, she's an enabler. They all are.
Well, they have.
I mean, she sits back, an Orthodox Jew. She sits back while her father says, both sides were doing some bad things.
I mean, they're just so full of shit. And I wonder how much they're in on the idea. I mean, I always wonder what's going on in the inner circle, what they actually say to each other, what they will actually admit to themselves. You know, I mean, I still grapple with the idea that Trump, does he think that he was just conducting business with Russia, or does he understand that there is compromise on him and he's behaving, you know, we do know that he behaves as if he knows there's compromise on him because he certainly goes out of his way to praise Putin. But, when there were the sanctions and Putin expelled all the diplomats, you know, okay, Trump made his version of a joke, but he still thanked him and had nothing negative to say about that. It was like, oh, thanks for saving us money, which of course didn't save us money. But So I still don't know, you know, but in the end, I think now, you know, we've all been chomping at the bit for this investigation or the series of investigations, whether it's, you know, the Senate or the House, Mueller, Schneiderman. Well, they're all still going on and they're all still going to matter. But in the end, I think it's going to be McConnell that really takes him down. And then we get to deal with the investigations later, which is good. It should be that way.
And the fact that, you know, let's not forget that there are crimes in the state of New York which will, you know, cause him to be cuffed and dragged away.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And there's nobody's going to be able to save him from that. And I mean, at the very best case scenario, well, here's something that worries me, though. And going back to the Nazis, and I was going to say the best case scenario is that for him, there's no jail time, he's not going to, I mean, granted, he'll always have protection, but he's not going to be able to just walk down the street without, I can't even imagine, you know, especially if Mitch gets him kicked out of office before his term is even up, how is he going to be able to live without being endlessly ridiculed and the hate coming at him just from, you know, walking down the street? I mean, not that he, you know, walks down the street all by himself and, you know, all the time. Obviously, again, he's going to have protection, but if he goes to a restaurant, he's going to have to go to his own restaurants. He's going to have to live in his bubble more so than he ever has. But I'm a little worried because I think whether it's conscious or not, I think there's a level of understanding in Trump's brain about what's happening. And he knows that he is a trapped rat and he's freaking out. And so I think part of this call to the Nazis and call to the white supremacists is his last line of, I guess, defense, in that if and when he is removed, they're going to rise up for him. They're going to be pissed. Now, granted, they are in the minority. We saw in Boston, there was like, I don't know, hundreds of Nazis and 40,000 anti, you know, Nazi protesters.
So awesome.
So there's many more of us, but, you know, they're still dangerous because they walk around with their weapons and one person dying is too much. So I'm a little concerned about what will go down, you know, right after Trump is gone. But I do think that it'll be limited time and then it'll be over. I don't think, it's not like the Nazis are going to rise and take over everything. It's just going to be really, really ugly for a brief period of time and then it'll be over.
I just hope no innocent people die.
Yeah.
You know, moving forward, like I'm right here, you guys. I am down the street from Berkeley.
Yeah.
Literally. And it's going to be cray.
Yeah,
and
it's going to be insane.
I'm going to drive by.
I talked to my mom this morning and she said, you know, I don't know if he's even going to make it through Thanksgiving at this point.
Well, you know my theory, and I know we have differing opinions on this, but I'd like for him to just hold out long enough so that we can get some, you know, Democrats back into Congress and take that shit back over.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's not the, I don't even know what the best answer is, because there's arguments to be made for both. Like, for instance, there's the argument that I think you're making, which is the longer he stays in, the better chance Democrats have of winning. Mm-hmm. And I can see that. But I can also see that if he's removed, you know, I think there will be a lot of focus now on Pence's evils and you know, criminal behavior and whatever his involvement is with Russian money, Russian collusion, whatever. So right now he's kind of being left alone because all the focus goes on Trump. And occasionally you hear a little bit about Pence, but we all know he lied about Mike Flynn. So what else does he know?
And just because, you know, we're all in the dark about what's going on with Mueller. We're all guessing at this point, you know? And while much of it is obvious, like obviously that dossier is being combed over and the PP tape and Christopher Steele's naming sources now. I mean, it just keeps getting better as far as the Mueller stuff goes. But because we know Pence is dirty, you know, and dirty, even if his only offense is that he lied about Mike Flynn, which we know if he lied about Mike Flynn, he's lying about a whole hell of a lot more.
Exactly.
And so Mueller's working on that too.
Yeah.
So we got a dirty president and a dirty VP, and you know,
and
all the other stuff.
That's why I think if Trump leaves sooner than later, we still have the dirty VP. We also have the evangelical VP, who is an extremist. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that all of a sudden a President Mike Pence is going to calm down the nation. I mean, the thing is we will just feel a little bit safer in regards to nuclear codes. And perhaps our world standing will rise a tad. I mean, everyone's still going to laugh at Mike Pence. Everyone's still going to look at Mike Pence and say, oh my God, what a joke, because he is far extreme right. But he's just not batshit crazy. He's just going to appear very fatherly and someone who looks like he's trustworthy compared to Trump. I mean, I'm not saying he is, but I'm just saying in comparison, he's going to look like a safe, a safe guy. But that's going to be a small part of the puzzle. I think the bigger piece of the puzzle is that we as liberals in this country, progressives, liberal, whatever, even independents and even some of the Republicans, we are, well, maybe not Republicans in this case, but we're all revved up. You know, we're revved up and we're pissed off and we woke up finally to the fact that we need to change, and I hope this happens, we need to change the Constitution so that if somebody, you know, so somebody like Donald Trump can never take office again. And also hopefully clean up the Electoral College issue.
Yes.
But I don't think that a President Pence is going to stop the resistance. And I know myself, I mean, I'm going to continue to push this idea that we need to resist him. But as I've said to you before, this is going to wake up women in a whole new different way, because the war on women is going to take a completely different form, because they're going to be so front and center. And with Trump, it's just fucking crazy all over the place. It's like a collage of crazy. And it's like, look here, look there, look here, look there. And it's like, what he said about North Korea, what he said about racism. It's like, it's all over the map with him. And I think with Pence, even though we're going to have a variety of issues, whether it's voting rights or there's probably still going to be race issues that we're dealing with, but there's going to be so many things happening with women that, and we know women are leading the resistance. So I don't think that that's going to stop. I mean, so I'm just saying, it's not that we necessarily disagree. I think that it's either way. I think we're probably solid either way. I would certainly hope so.
Yes, I totally agree. this morning I got a call. I saw Boston, Massachusetts come up on my phone, and I'm like, I'm curious. Hello. And it was someone from Planned Parenthood Action. And that's the political arm of Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
And I had a conversation with him and I said, oh yeah, I'm happy to throw down.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily have it, but yes, here you go, sir. And it was a dude, by the way, who called me. And I said, you know, my friend and I started the donate to Planned Parenthood in Mike Pence's name. He goes, no. I said, yes, we did. He goes, I took at least 15. And that's the Planned Parenthood Action. We were sending people straight to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
He said he was taking donations. And so I donated in Mike Pence's name today. He goes, because this fight isn't over. And I said, oh, I understand. Because the part, and then we had this longer conversation. I told him, I go, isn't it interesting that, you know, the Republicans want to take choice away from women. They want to make birth control more difficult to get. They want to make abortion legal. Yet they're so concerned with wealth, their own wealth.
Yeah.
And the economy. Don't they realize that they're shooting themselves in the foot?
No.
When the majority of the workforce is not able, or they're making 80 cents on the dollar. And when you take their rights away from them and their ability to have a choice in whether or not they want to have more children, whether they want to, you know, have children in the first place, that you are ruining the economy. Like, it's the same. It's so stupid. It's
well,
so,
but you're
dealing
stupid. With Republicans here, so you're right. It's like
I understand.
They don't deal in reality. They deal in, I don't even know what it is. What is it? Stupidity. It's
yeah, exactly. See, we have dissonance. To say stupid. That's the best word we can come up with, because it is, because that's exactly, that's an accurate word. It's they're stupid, and you know, nobody is going to tell me. I will. This is something I would be willing to die for. And I know that sounds super dramatic, but I mean it. You know how people go and fight for their country and they leave their partners and their kids at home because they're fighting for something that they believe in. Well, yeah. I believe in women and I believe in our right to choose and our, we are entitled to have economic equality.
Yes. I mean,
we are.
Yeah. And it's, and this, and the thing is that it benefits everybody. It's not that it only benefits women. What's really sad is that it seems like women's issues or things that affect women are considered women's issues as if it doesn't affect anyone else. But, you know, abortion and birth control and reproductive rights are all economic issues that affect everybody. And on top of it, it's not just economic. It's like, you know, you've got a couple and they get pregnant and they don't want to have a kid, both of them. Well, then if abortion is illegal, the man in that situation is also affected. If he doesn't mm-hmm. want to be a father, and if the mother mm-hmm. or if the woman doesn't want to be a mother, they're both affected. It's not just like the woman is only affected by this. So I wish that we could stop making issues that affect women only about women as if they're the only ones who are going to have to, you know, deal with consequences, because we're all dealing with the consequences and we're all getting screwed over by it. So
and your economy, your precious economy is going to get the shit beat out of it when you take women out of the workforce.
But you say that, but you know, the thing is it's like Republicans are always the ones killing the economy. They think taxing, you know, you say to them, well, if you tax the middle class and you give, well, I mean, of course, everybody's going to have to be taxed. But I mean, if you tax the middle class more and you give all the rich people the breaks, it doesn't help the economy. Yet that's what they want to do. So they just, you know, they obviously don't understand the economy.
They don't understand. Dimwits.
So I just want to talk about one more thing before we go into another thing. I've noticed that in August, and it's not that surprising, there have been a lot less leaks, especially from our friend Claude Taylor, who has agreed to come back in September after Labor Day, so we can have another show with him. And I, you know, I tweeted to him the other day, and I said, "Hey, there haven't been so many leaks from Schneiderman and from Mueller. Do you think that's going to change after Labor Day?" And he said, "I sure hope so." So even though we can hopefully expect some fireworks to come from McConnell, we still have this Mueller investigation, and we're all so fascinated by it. So it will be interesting to see if some of these leaks are going to come out. But obviously, with Claude, he's got a source with Schneiderman, and so that has nothing to do with, you know, the leaks coming from the White House, which I want to get into in a second. But I mean, this will be interesting to see, you know, how the Schneiderman thing plays out and who's going to be, you know, we all know Mueller is tight lipped and he runs a really tight investigation. So I wonder, you know, if Bannon, they were all saying, or I should say not all, but there were rumors that Bannon was leaking and now he's gone. So I wonder who's, you know, going to be leaking from the White House anymore, if there is a leaker and what's going on. And then, like, if after Labor Day, and why would it be after Labor? Is it because people are on vacation? And I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that there's still a lot of people online, but, I know that people are on their vacations.
It hasn't been as juicy.
Yeah, it's been kind of dead and boring.
Right. Well, you know, there's a break. It's, you know, people are just coming back to school. Things are going to start heating up after Labor Day.
It always does.
It's on again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've finally gotten to a place through all of this where I don't feel like that manic cuckoo-ness anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know what? These people got it. We got, you know, we've got Mueller. The Democrats, you know, I'm waiting for them to unite and figure their shit out But in the meantime, you know, Trump's digging his own grave. He's putting, like last night, first of all, my husband, who is like the most even keel dude in the world, you know, I sit like a little child next to him and go, does this mean that? And then he looks and he goes, yep. And I go, oh my God. And I started feeling kind of sick watching the people behind Trump, like those twins. Do you see those twins?
Yes.
Sitting behind
yes,
him?
Yes, I did.
Ew, terrifying.
Weren't they wearing like
MAGA hats? And then the crazy Michael
hats?
The black man.
Yes.
That loon.
Yes.
And then and it just, you know, nodding when he's talking about Mexicans. And I'm like, this started to make me feel sick in my stomach. And so we switched it over to Rachel. And I'm like, you know what? Here's somebody who knows what she's talking about. She's telling the truth. It's measured. She's not. It was the exact opposite of what we were watching when we were watching Trump give his speech. And so now I'm kind of like, I'm chill and I'm sleeping better. And I'm okay. I enjoy my Twitter, and I enjoy my now. It's the Post, it's the Times, it's I'm reading it all, and I feel like we got this. Meaning the good people got this.
Yeah.
And the right thing is going to happen here, which is him. You know, he's gonna go, and he's gonna do time. That's the right. Those are two things that are right.
Well,
and I will make the popcorn, and you and Bob are welcome to come over and enjoy it with us.
Oh my God. All right. Well then let's close out on this and then we'll be moving over.
Sure.
But of course it's that time in the show. To let you know that you can support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. So, you know, you can pledge really anything you want, $1, $2, $3, but then $5 gets you access to And Another Thing, which is our segment directly after this. And then above and beyond that, whatever you want, just support indie podcasters, because we're working hard and it's kind of fun too, but it'd be nice to have some support. So anyway.
Absolutely.
I hate asking for money, but you know, you got to do it.
Let me ask. I love doing it.
Okay, well, I'll let you ask next time.
Next time.
All right. Well, then we'll see you over and at End Another Thing.